Welcome back to Girl Meets Show, the relationships podcast for people in a relationship with TV. I'm Jordan.
I'm Taylor. We have a long-awaited episode discussing the Netflix original series, The Crown. This has been a long time coming, and a lot of work has been put in by Jordan mostly. And I'm just very excited to discuss everything we have on The Crown up until this point.
I've put in weeks of work. You've put in years. This has been years of watching on your end. I feel like that's more impressive.
It's true, but there's more of a fire lit under you for this podcast episode.
I guess that is true.
Which I guess is a pro and a con. Like, it was kind of forced upon you. Actually, you started it all on your own, so I won't even say that.
Oh, yeah, totally. I just suddenly got this itch that I really wanted to watch it. I've been waiting, what, like 4 years for that?
It comes when you least expect it. That's what Truly. They always say.
When I stop looking for it, that's when it'll come, yeah.
The crown will just fall into your lap. The crown, just like dating.
Love The Crown. They're the same.
Exactly the same.
Actually ironic because, like, I mean,
it's actually the opposite.
Yeah, like, that was something that was so shocking to me, is how, like, the whole show is actually about love and you're not allowed to have it. And it's like, wow. I knew that was important, you know, in the royals' lives. I didn't know it's literally the main cause of conflict for everyone. It's wild.
It's wild and juicy.
Truly is.
So before we get into The Crown TV news, it's been a little while. Something I'm excited about is a new Apple TV Plus series that's called The New Look. And it stars Juliette Binoche. Is that how it's pronounced?
Mm-hmm.
As Coco Chanel. And I'm mostly excited because Jack Antonoff produced a soundtrack of period-appropriate covers, and people included in that are Lana Del Rey, Matty Healy, Nick Cave, Perfume Genius, and very interested in that soundtrack.
Wow. Apple, you know, I think I talked about this. I just canceled my Apple Plus. Save $9 a month or whatever, and I will definitely be turning it back on when that drops.
Perfect. I mean, it'll be a while, so you can...
Yeah, I've got time to
save your pennies.
My $9, yes.
It might even be like $15 by the time that comes around.
It probably will, and I will be so furious. But, you know, I'll do it anyway. Since we last recorded, Nicole Kidman has confirmed that there is a third season of Big Little Lies in the works. And I wasn't that happy to hear that. I feel like it needs to be over. And now it's been so long since the season two, which I thought was pretty underwhelming compared to how good season one was, that I just am a little worried.
Well, and one of the main collaborators is dead now. So, like, that's also really interesting.
I didn't. Well, if I knew that, I forgot. Which collaborator?
It happened a while ago. I can't remember his name.
But not obviously not David E. Kelly, the other
no,
person.
No, I think he was like the director.
Oh, okay.
A lot of the episodes or something.
Wow.
But yeah, I just thought like the timing of her confirming that was really interesting. Like, I don't even know really where she was. She was just like on some panel, like,
yeah,
being interviewed, and she was like, and by the way, season three is coming. And it was like she had just previously been seen like with all of the actresses like at a dinner, and so people were like, OMG, the gang's back together. So it was like they were already kind of, it's just like weird timing, and I'm like, are you allowed to just like drop that like that?
Yeah, it feels like she went rogue. Like,
yeah,
it's confusing.
I don't know. I was really excited to talk about something, but it's already been squashed. but people were saying that Harry Styles was going to be in The White Lotus.
I have that bookmarked too. Both announcements, the yes and the no. That actually would have been such a good fit. I'm sad.
I'm sad too, because I had also seen like he was going to be playing a yoga instructor, and that's why he shaved his head. And so I was like, I was kind of on board.
Oh my gosh. Who, like, what Harry shaved head apologist launched this rumor on the internet? That is so funny.
They did good.
They did real good. They really did. Let's see. Black Mirror was renewed for season 7 on Netflix. I'm not really surprised.
No, I'm not surprised either. And like, kind of unsure how I feel about it.
Mm-hmm. It's one of those things where it's like, no matter if they get good or bad reviews, like, there's always going to be more Black Mirror. So,
which is funny because they will like go so long without episodes.
Yes.
But it's still a constant. I don't know. It's interesting.
It is. Yeah, it's very interesting. And it's been a really long time since the majority of a new season was great. Like, I feel like there's usually like at least one or two that are like pretty good. Mm-hmm. 'Cause like, I still loved the Josh Hartnett, Aaron Paul episode of the last season. I thought that was really good. But like, how about you make them all good?
How about
Here's some advice. They're like, oh.
Ever thought of that? Did you see the photos that were released, the first look photos of the new Mr. and Mrs. Smith series starring Donald Glover and Maya?
Yes, I did.
Wow, wow, wow. They're hot.
Yeah, I did. And they look good.
I wanted to repost some of them to our Instagram stories, but I had just reposted John Hamm in Fargo shirtless, and Donald Glover is also shirtless in some of these first look photos, so it felt like it was a little too thirsty to post both of those, but just know I wanted to.
I was going to say, I was like, I feel like people that actually listen to our episodes know that we are thirsty and horny.
I mean, it is like kind of the premise of this whole podcast. Yeah. Anyway, so I should just lean in.
But a lot of people follow us on Instagram, like, to support us with that, but they don't actually listen. So maybe they wouldn't know.
They wouldn't get it. It's true. There's a little bit of a disconnect with our listenership and our followers.
Yes. Still appreciate you.
Yes, we love you all. But it's premiering on February 4th. That feels soon. I know I'm always saying that, but that really does feel soon.
It seriously does. Something to look forward to in the worst time of the year.
Truly.
I saw this trailer. It's on HBO. And it's called The Sympathizer, and it just says coming in 2024, but it is a Vietnam War espionage thriller series, and Sandra Oh is in it, and it's produced and co-starring Robert Downey Jr., who's playing multiple roles, but it's following like Vietnamese spies. The trailer was very good. It looks like a dark, some comedic parts thriller show. I think it looks really good. I love Robert Downey Jr.
I was gonna say, you're an RDJ head, so I'm excited about this. Yes. For you.
And it's just I really like this, like, let's let RDJ be in like grown-up movies, grown-up shows again, because he was Iron Man for like what, like 20 years, it feels like. Not 20, yeah. But 15, I think. But it looks really good and really interesting. You'll have to look up the trailer. And it's also weird. I didn't hear anything about it. I just saw like a random tweet in my For You page.
Yeah, that is weird, because I feel like we've been doing this podcast for so long that we've kind of been able to cover almost everything that's like from start to like casting to trailer to like premiere date to watching it and reviewing it. Like, so it's always wild when like a new trailer drops for a show that has like people in it we know and love and like on a reliable network and we didn't hear about it before this. That's always weird.
It is very confusing. Sometimes it makes me a little worried. Like, why is there not more buzz about something?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I haven't even heard about it.
Yeah, I just DM'd you the trailer on Twitter, so you'll have to watch it and see.
Perfect, I will.
Also interesting because when I was making sure I had the title right, it says HBO original. Like, Max is nowhere to be found. So yet another confusing thing to me because I kind of thought everything was Max now, but I've given up on knowing those details anymore.
Well, speaking of Max, a Max original series, the Dumois series is going to be on Max. And our very favorite Ryan O'Connell is going to be writing it. And wow, can I not wait. I wasn't that interested in it before, I don't think. I was hesitant as a Dumois stan. But
yes,
I love Ryan O'Connell and I'm excited by anything he does. So,
yes, I totally trust him. And Diablo Cody is involved with it too, with him.
Oh, yes.
She did Juno. I feel like, well, first of all, I don't really know if I don't know what she's been up to lately, you know?
Mm-hmm. Me neither.
I think that duo will be interesting. Definitely also was very skeptical of a Dumois series. I mean, I still don't even know what in the world does this even look like. Like, what is it? Is it like Gossip
Girl?
But it's just
maybe
Dumois?
I'll have to read,
like,
the book.
They wrote a book?
Yeah, there's a Dumois book called Anon Please that has already been published and is available. So I think it's based off of that book.
Okay, that makes more sense because I was like, I don't even know what the premise is going to be.
Yeah.
Is it, do you know if it's like, is it a novel or is it like some kind of compilation of like,
it's a novel, things? I believe.
That is so funny.
So yeah, I still am not sure how different it is from Gossip Girl is what I'm trying to say.
Wow. I guess technically Gossip Girl isn't about celebrities. It's about, you know, real quote unquote people in the world of Gossip Girl. So maybe
true. It's a spinoff.
Huh. And is it like, I mean, now I guess I might have to read the book too and we have to do like a Girl Meets Show book report on this. But like, it's like in this novel slash show, are they going to be shouting out real celebs or are they all made up celebrities that Dumois in this story is like reporting
on? That's one thing I'm not sure of.
Hmm.
Anybody listening, read the book? Hit us up. Let us know. It'll save us some time.
Yes,
I had a
goal
to read 20 books this year and I've only read 6, so it's going to be a while for me to get on that.
6 is pretty good, but that is probably not a long book. So, my last thing is that Disney Plus dropped a teaser for Agatha Darkhold Diaries is the title. Not crazy about that, to be honest. But I don't like when there's a title to something where there's like a word I don't know. Like, I don't know what Darkhold means in the Marvel world. So
So it'll probably have the tag of you need a little bit of context.
Exactly. Yes. But it was not just a typical teaser. It was like behind the scenes stuff, like interviewing them, which I thought was interesting.
It was cute. I thought that Catherine Hahn looked like so pumped to be a part of this show and like,
yes,
which I thought was interesting. I'm like, either Catherine Hahn is just like the most amazing actress of all time or like she is genuinely so pumped to be in the show. And
yeah,
it's probably a little bit of both.
Yeah, totally. It's probably fun to normally be playing like a normal human character and then now you're like this witch. That's probably pretty fun for an actor. But yeah. That's all.
All right, The Crown. As many people may know or may not know, something that The Crown does is that when the characters age, like every couple seasons, they will switch out the actors playing that specific character. So at this point, we've had three different variations of Queen Elizabeth played by three different actresses as Queen Elizabeth ages. And I think it's a really cool idea and something I haven't seen really before in a TV show. And sometimes it is really cool, and other times it can be a little bit confusing. And it's hard when it's like you're really attached to a specific actor with that character, so it can be a little bit hard to like move on to someone else. So for our top three, we are ranking our favorite versions of characters from The Crown. Okay, I will go first and say one that I feel a little bit passionate about, but Charles. I really liked Josh O'Connor playing Charles. I think that Dominic West is too hot to play old Charles.
He's very classically handsome. It seemed too much like a different person suddenly.
Yeah.
And Josh O'Connor is still cuter, like a lot cuter than Charles in real life. Mm-hmm. But sometimes he could really, like, I thought he was amazing. Like,
yes.
And he was able to have, like, he could kind of sit in a way where, like, he was seeming like Charles to me.
Yeah, like, he kind of was able to, he, like, mannerisms and, like, just, like, looked interesting in a way that wasn't, that I felt like made him stand out and look more Charles-esque than Dominic West.
Yes, Dominic West looks like he's, like, a fairy tale prince. And, like, that was just, it was just wrong.
We agree on that.
Yes. I'll go to Philip next.
Okay.
Does that make sense?
Yeah, I'm excited to hear your preferred Philip.
I think it was kind of hard to let go of the youngest versions of all of them, because, like, they're the ones we meet first. And so, like, that's you're always kind of having them in your head. But I actually think that my favorite Philip was actually old Philip, Jonathan Pryce. I felt like, well, my least favorite, I think, was the middle Philip, actually, because he never really seemed that much like Matt Smith, like mannerisms. Like, he was kind of felt a little like the outlier to me. But I felt like Jonathan Pryce kind of felt like Matt Smith as an old man, and he was still Philip, but kind of like, you could see how he had gained more wisdom as he got older and had more complexity. And I liked his relationship with Elizabeth at that point, where, like, they'd gone through so much as a couple, but, like, were kind of the most on the same page that they'd ever been as mm-hmm. when they're old. And so I think he was my favorite.
Yeah, I agree. And I think he was way more likable because of that, like, character development and evolving.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
And he just, like, did a good job of, like, portraying that and, like, being more warm. I really liked Matt Smith because he was really good at playing kind of an unlikable, irritating, full of himself type of person. And I think it's mm-hmm. interesting because I watched Matt Smith in The Crown before House of the Dragon. So I was kind of curious to see if the House of the Dragon would kind of sway your thoughts on Matt Smith at all playing Philip. Do you feel like it did?
Because I'd seen Matt Smith around. I don't know if I'd really seen that many things that he's in until I watched House of the Dragon. So I came in knowing he can play a jerk.
That's very well. That makes sense.
But I did think, it's documented. We do not like him on House of the Dragon. Like, his character on House of the Dragon, we hate him. We think he's ugly. So I was like, okay, he's cuter in the crown because he doesn't have that white hair, you know, like, so he looked more normal. And so I was like, but he was very like whiny. He comes off as like so immature when he's just like kind of butthurt all the time. So he was really good at that.
Mm-hmm.
So I definitely respect Matt Smith. And he also wasn't such a creep as in House of the Dragon. So like that was a relief kind of, even though
yeah,
I was like mad at Philip a lot. Young yeah. Philip. But yeah.
Young Philip. Now that young Sheldon is ending, should there be a young Philip?
They should have just called Crown the Crown like young Lilibet or whatever. Young Philip. Those were kind of the easiest ones. So I think we're getting into the harder ones now.
We are getting into the harder ones. So I'm going to say Helena Bonham Carter is my favorite Princess Margaret. I was just like so shocked by her performance.
Yes.
And I just hadn't really seen her in something so like serious like that. I don't know. She was yes. really good and I loved her.
That is okay. I actually expected you to say Vanessa Kirby. Because
oh, interesting, because I love Vanessa Kirby.
She's amazing. And I feel like maybe I've heard you reference her, like you love her in other things and you also love her in The Crown or something. So I kind of thought Vanessa Kirby was going to be your favorite Margaret.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I don't want to just be like, well, you agree on everything. But Helena Bonham Carter, I think like...
We just have taste.
Yeah, sorry. I think something I did tell you when it time jumped for the first time, I think like probably at the start of season 3. And it was a shock trying to be like, oh, like, okay, that is Vanessa Kirby and that is Claire Foy.
Mm-hmm.
But like, it really was pretty amazing seeing Helena Bonham Carter like that. Like she really became Margaret. Like she was, because it's just like you're saying, I'm used to seeing her as like, you know, Harry Potter or Tim Burton movies where she's like really eccentric and like cuckoo. So over the top. Yes. And this is her playing like a damaged, sad human woman. Because like really, Margaret is kind of like, I think until the Diana years, Margaret is like the heart and soul of the show, even though it's really about Elizabeth. But like Margaret is like almost the thesis of the show because it's like, see what this being in the monarchy does to people. Like,
mm-hmm. like even if you're not in line for to be the crown.
Yes. And Vanessa Kirby had a lot to do, but I feel like Helena Bonham Carter's stage of Margaret had even more to do because it was like seeing her still disappointed after all these years and not getting anything she wants in life. Like it was totally. Heartbreaking.
Well, and you make a good point that a lot of these are not necessarily like about the actor's portrayals or performances. It really is like probably mostly because I feel like all of these people are like have done incredible performances. It's
yes.
A lot of it is like the storylines that are happening during that season. Because like, obviously, yes. the older version of Philip is a lot more warm and welcoming than early Philip. So,
mm-hmm. oh, totally.
Yeah, that's a good point.
I think, because even going back to Charles, it's not like Dominic West is bad at acting in this. It's like, because I don't really think that anyone in the cast is giving a bad performance. Like, I don't think it's his fault. It's not his fault that he's so attractive. Like it just like it doesn't work.
Or is it?
Yeah.
It's kind of just like our heart votes.
Yes, exactly. Okay. Queen time.
I feel like if we're not in sync with this, I'd be surprised. Who's yours?
Well, now I feel so much pressure.
There's no pressure.
It's really hard because it's really hard to choose between Olivia Colman and Claire Foy for me because I think Claire Foy sets the whole stage for the whole portrayal of Queen Elizabeth. And I think that Olivia Colman does a really good job of matching what Claire Foy was doing. And I think, like, I almost think that Olivia Colman, like, I liked the scenes. Okay. I liked and hated the scenes where she is being like a really bad mom to Charles, kind of, or like cold, not bad mom, but like she's so cold to Charles. I think it just like, it shows kind of like the foundation that Claire Foy laid of Elizabeth, and then kind of like how she became like, the royals aren't supposed to be emotional, they're not supposed to be warm and cuddly, you know, like they got to break down Charles, they've got to break down all these people. And I just kind of like really respected that. But it's really hard to leave out Claire Foy, because every time she popped up in a flashback or something, I was like giddy to see her, to see baby queen again.
Yeah. Claire Foy is my favorite queen. I was surprised at how, like, because I'm a big Olivia Colman fan. I mean, who isn't? But I was mm-hmm. like, so I was like kind of anticipating that I was going to be like obsessed with Olivia Colman as the queen, but I was like shocked at how much I was missing Claire Foy during those episodes, even though Olivia did amazing. But yeah, we were kind of saying before, like Claire Foy was just like, you got to see like so much growth in her seasons of like starting out being the queen and kind of going from a warmer person to a colder person.
Yes. She
just did really good at that. But also, again, everyone's amazing. So there's no wrong answer here.
It is so true. And well, and I don't know. It's kind of like a win-win, lose-lose for me to decide. But I feel like I was really surprised, especially because Olivia Colman herself is kind of a warm and cuddly figure.
Mm-hmm.
And so I liked seeing her be like pretty, like, like your children's lot, like they are so broken and sad and you're just like, stop it. Like it was really, I don't know, I think there was something about those middle seasons that really got me or something.
I mean, it makes sense. Well, in honestly we're not that different, because I binged this like up until the last season. So like we really aren't that different. I haven't been watching this since day one. It took me a while to get into The Crown. I like had attempted like three different times and couldn't do it. And then when I finally got that itch that we all mm-hmm. hope and pray for, it finally happened. And so I think I like had binged like three or four seasons and then had caught up.
Mm-hmm. I was anticipating it being painful at the first handful of episodes, because I think that's literally all I've heard. But luckily I thought it was really interesting, and then I was like, it was like fun. Like I was like, I can't wait to watch more. So
did you feel like it lived up to the hype?
Oh yeah, I totally think it did. I really wasn't on my phone that much, which is shocking for like a long series. I think I did tell you that I did start kind of being on my phone a little more starting in season 5, like the first, like the Elizabeth Debicki seasons, which is again, it's not because of the acting. I guess that's another one. Sorry, I'm totally jumping all over the place. Which Diana do you prefer if you had to choose?
That one's harder for me because they are playing such different people basically.
Yes.
Because like Elizabeth is playing like someone who became a princess and divorced and has kids, where like Emma Corrin was playing such a young Princess Diana who was like naive and like mm-hmm. fun, you know,
teenager. So,
yeah I liked that. I thought both of them did a pretty good job. Do you have one?
They both are amazing, even, which is so wild because neither of them look alike, and yet somehow they both look like Diana.
Yeah.
But I think I might prefer the Emma Corrin episodes. So
okay.
that's kind of what takes me there in that direction.
Well, that takes me to my last question for you, is with this new drop of 4 episodes, part one of the final season, which is covering Princess Diana's death, how did you feel they did covering that time? And how did you like those episodes, I guess?
I still really liked them. Something I'm seeing a lot of commentary on is the choice to bring them, Diana back as like a ghost kind of thing, and to, like, talking to Charles.
Okay, yeah, which, I haven't actually seen anything about that, but that part was a little weird to me too.
Yes, because, okay, what I love, I know, like, you have to take the whole series with a grain of salt, because a lot of it is dealing in, like, actual events that are documented and happened, and a lot of it is also, like, private conversations that
they're filling in the blanks.
Yeah. Like, you know, the royals aren't confirming it. Yeah, like, they're not getting direct quotes or anything. But typically it's dealing with, like, facts. And there was a lot of guesswork, like, a lot of, like, creative writing kind of stuff going on like that. And so I was expecting it to be weirder, especially because when I heard that, but when they said ghost, I was kind of picturing, like, at the end of Star Wars when, like, the Jedi's come back and, like, they're all blue. So I was like, oh, at least she's not, like, a ghost. That was just a stupid thought that I don't know why I had thought they would ever do that. But it just felt a little more, like, soap opera-ish, which didn't feel very Crown-like to me.
I agree. Yeah, it just kind of took me out of it. And I was like, they had never done anything like that before. Everything in the show has made you, even if it's not fact or, like, exactly how something happened, the way I watch it, I believe that it is until I read about it online, you know?
Yes.
And so, like, them doing that, it immediately kind of took me out of it, because it was not something they have ever done before.
Yeah, and I feel like, overall, like, not even just Diana's death in, like, specifically, I felt like kind of these last few episodes, I felt like some of the writing, instead of being more nuanced and kind of complex and subtle, like I feel like the earlier seasons are, it was kind of more, like, obvious and, like, hit you over the head with stuff. And it seems like it made some of the people, like, I'm thinking specifically, like, Dodie's father. It's, like, a little too, like, I kind of miss it being more balanced of, like, people are both good and evil, because that's kind of how I felt about, like, every character. And then I feel like they were kind of making him, like, Muhammad and Dodie Fayed, be kind of, like, more, like, obvious. And it felt like something was a little off.
It gave it a little bit more of a cheesier feel to me.
Yeah. I'm glad you thought that too, because I was kind of like, this just feels a little different than what I loved about almost, like, all the seasons up till then. Was, like, I love how, like, even every single character, specifically I'm thinking of Charles right now, where it's like, I felt so much sympathy for Charles, and I can see where, like, his upbringing, and, like, it was really hard, and he was so sensitive, and then kind of was broken, and he's forced into all this, like, can't marry the one person he wants to marry, but also that doesn't excuse how he's treating Diana and all this stuff. So it's like, there was so much complexity for all these other characters, and then it was kind of like, what? Like, it just didn't feel the same.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, no, I'm with you, and I totally agree. I can't decide. I felt a little bit weird about the fact that, like, they never, like, outrightly show or say, basically, that Princess Diana's dead. Like, every time someone is telling someone else, they go mute, and it's like,
oh, yeah.
And even, like, the car crash, you don't see that. It's just, like, it happens, and then there's, like, police on the scene. So, like, it's kind of interesting. Like, I toy between, like, well, it's because they're being respectful, but I'm also like, is it kind of like a cop out? I don't know. I can't really decide. I felt like it was a little bit odd and a little too obvious that they were like avoiding saying it or portraying it in any way.
Yeah, that was strange. I feel like the first time they went mute in the scene, I was like, oh, wow. Like, it was kind of impactful. And then they did it, like, two more times. And so it was kind of like, okay, like, you already did that. And it, my interpretation is that, like, the writing was not as good this season. And so it's like, oh, we have this really hard scene to write. Let's just not do it. So, yeah. Lazy.
I kind of felt like that, too. My sister disagreed with me and thought, like, it was more respectful, which I can see that, too. But yeah, because it happened like three times, like I personally wanted to hear Charles telling his boys. Like I feel like that would have been more impactful and like pulling my heartstrings. But I actually, I fell asleep in the fourth episode.
Oh, wow.
I was tired and I watched all four in one sitting.
That's a lot to watch.
But I did not like them. I thought that they were good, but I did feel like they were a little bit weaker. But I'm excited and intrigued to see how part two is.
I really am too. I am also sad that we're not getting Harry and Meghan stuff documented.
I know. I wonder if they'll ever change their minds about that. But I'm excited to get Kate and William.
I am really excited because it is really interesting seeing the parts that like I vividly remember myself, you know, and like the Kate and William stuff that was like huge over here too, like
totally
when I saw the pictures that they dropped and they show her like in that fashion show, I was like, wow, I know that photo perfectly and this is so good. Like I'm pretty excited.
I think that's another reason why I'm a little bit more critical of these Princess Diana later episodes is because I remember it and have memory of it. It's not totally new information where most of the other seasons were for the most part.
Yes. I'm glad we don't have to wait very long. It's all dropping December 14th, like 2 weeks.
So we'll be back with The Crown Part 2 as well.
Definitely.
Okay, Crush of the Week. Lots of content watched over Thanksgiving, at least for me, so I'm interested to hear who your crush is.
Honestly, I feel like I was pretty much only watching this.
That makes sense.
So I think I'm giving it up to Josh O'Connor. I was very impressed. It was like, this is like the fifth time I've referenced this meme where it's like, I wasn't familiar with your game. but I think he even won the Emmy. Like he was amazing. I love him now a lot.
Yeah, that I love him too. And I hope he's in more stuff because like it's been a while since I've seen him and he's great.
I know. Well, he's going to be in that Zendaya tennis threesome movie.
I forgot about that. That should have already happened, but then they pushed it back.
Yes.
Okay, I'm excited.
It's like kind of this feels like this movie that never was, but it will be someday.
Someday, somehow. Okay. My crush of the week, I'm going to do a real 180 because, unfortunately, it would be cheating if I also said Josh O'Connor because I haven't watched that season in years. I watched all of the new Great British Bake Off season, and I think the finale is this week. Maybe today. I honestly am not sure.
Oh my gosh. Wow.
I know. And I haven't really seen a lot about it online, but there is this guy on there named Maddie who is so cute. And precious, and he's gonna be my crush. So if anyone's watching or hasn't watched, you should watch. It's a great season yet again.
Wow, this is so funny. Now you are recommending to me to watch Great British Bake Off because I'm like two seasons behind.
Oh, so how the tables have turned.
They truly have. And honestly, the best crushes are the Great British Bake Off crushes, because
they really are.
You just feel like you know them so well, and they're so adorable and the best.
It is the best.
Wow.
All right. Well, there's The Crown part one. And I'm happy this episode was finally able to happen. It feels like it's hard to have a TV podcast. We're not talking about The Crown because it is a very distinguished show.
It is. It really is. I regret waiting this long to watch it, but I'm so happy that I have. It was amazing.
Good. I'm so glad it lived up to the hype. Thank you, everyone, for listening. Bye.
Bye.